You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. We're doing a series on debt in America, particularly managing debt in America, from the largest to the smallest economic entity, and we want to hear your stories.
Peter Olela from Dover, New Hampshire. I graduated in 1992, 2 months after graduating college with honors, industrial accident. Out of commission for 5 years, including homelessness. Made my way back, got into law school. Student loan people refused to reinstate my loan. My loans have ballooned like you wouldn't imagine.
Tell us your story, how you got into debt, how debt is affecting you, how you're managing it, any strategies for doing so that other Americans could take some lessons from. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Our series on debt management in America next week.
John, tonight President Bush begins the G20 summit meeting with leaders from 20 of the world's most powerful nations to take on the international financial crisis. Bush welcomes them to Washington, which actually complicates matters given his administration is coming to an end. And whatever the group decides or discusses will be passed on to President-elect Barack Obama, who is not planning on attending the summit. Meanwhile, there are some reports that Citigroup is looking for a new chairman, which the company denies. To talk about all of this, Peter Morici joins us, professor at the University of Maryland School of Business. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So what do you think can be accomplished at this summit, given the dynamics?
Not a lot. And it doesn't have much to do with the fact that we have a change in government. It's the fact that we already have international institutions in place to deal with trade, banking regulation, and exchange rates. And there are limits to what can be accomplished because in order to have progress at the international level, governments have to agree about the goals and strategies. For example, on exchange rates, the Chinese want to have a fixed exchange rate system where they have an undervalued currency, which advantages them in trade. And that is a position that is also followed in India and several other developing countries. So they're not going to go along with a Bretton Woods system that it seeks to balance trade, for example. On trade issues, I mean, we don't want to open up our markets in agricultural products completely. They don't want to open up their markets in manufactured products. That's why the Doha round failed. Moving trade negotiations from the WTO to some supranational authority isn't going to change those conditions, and it isn't going to compel people to agree where they disagree.
Certainly, after Bush's speech yesterday, let's listen to a bit of it. There was the response to it essentially was most people don't expect much to take place this weekend.
History has shown that the greater threat to economic prosperity is not too little government involvement in the market. It is too much government involvement in the market.
So what message did he send there, Peter?
He was really talking about bank regulation in New York. The problem that we have right now is everybody seems to think, and this is something that you hear on all the public stations around the country, we need more regulation of the banks. Lord knows, the New York banks have got regulations. At Citibank, they've got a federal regulator in the bank 24 hours a day. And same thing with all the other major banks. What we've got here is the equivalent of tax avoidance. No matter how complex and tightly you write the tax rules, people find a way around them. No matter how tightly you write the bank regulations, people find a way around them. What just happened now was we had an accounting fraud. People moved their liabilities outside the banks into structured investment vehicles, said these vehicles did not count against the capital of the banks, and the capital of the banks wouldn't have to, you know, back them up if they failed, and they did. And so we're in a mess.
Do you think this weekend meeting is pointless?
Pretty much. It's never really pointless. Right now, the Europeans need an opportunity to scold us, and it'll provide that. The Chinese are getting to the point where they're going to have to change or face slower growth. And their leadership is going to have to go through a play where they scold us, and this will provide an opportunity. This weekend, we're going to get spanked. And you know something? Given the mess we've created, we deserve it.
Well, and the West will also be looking at Europe's resistance to reduce interest rates. So there'll be a lot of scolding and spanking to go around. I want to give you the opportunity.
Well,
hold on. Well, hold on one second. I don't want to get into the European interest rates. I may be wrong economically, as usual. But, you know, the stock at Citigroup went through the $10 mark this week. And all of a sudden, there's a crisis in management at Citigroup. Is this bank going under, or what's happening there?
I guess you want me to mention Vikram's name. Vikram Pandit is politically very adroit. What he's done is trash the bank. The problems there are much deeper than subprime mortgages. And his conduct as CEO is highly questionable, both his, how he's conducted his personal affairs and how he's managed the bank.
Let's just remind people of the news this week. The chairman, there was a call for the chairman to be replaced, who is not Vikram Pandit. And then there's also been criticism that Pandit and all of his Morgan Stanley buddies are running the bank kind of out of their own closet.
Exactly. And now, what do we have come out of this? Basically, there's no pressure on Rubin to leave, who hired Pandit, and they're pressuring
Robert Rubin.
Right. And there's no pressure. And now they're putting pressure on the chairman of the board to leave. So we're going to fire the chairman of the board because it's becoming more assertive, perhaps, instead of the guy who's running the bank. That's kind of like the problem over at General Motors. Basically, General Motors has got a board full of shills. And so Rick Wagner never was held accountable for losing money. He increased his compensation by over 60% this year. There's basically a crisis of management at Citigroup. We have an acquisitive CEO who stuffs the shareholders' money in his pockets and is frankly not competent to run the institution.
Well, Peter, we got to go, but it's great how, you know, suddenly when the stock is below $10 a share, how much transparency suddenly happens in the boardrooms of a big bank like Citigroup.
And my concern about him doesn't seem so dumb after all, does it?
Peter Morici, we're always so glad to have you, sir. We hope you have a good weekend.
Take care.
Peter Morici is a professor at the University of Maryland School of Business.
And he's a clairvoyant, actually, also.
Well,
in this instance,
yes, it seems he is. Mark Garrison is with us now with the latest headlines.
Thank you. 28 minutes after the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.